little change of pace this morning. The while visiting in the Potomac area, I'm going to be speaking from the sixth chapter of Canto 1. So I was requested to continue the sixth chapter of Canto 1. Or in the Zoom for your normal program tomorrow. I'm chanting the sloka for text number 15. There we go. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Without human habitation. Aranye. In the forest. Pipala. Banyan tree. Upaste. Sitting under it. Ashutaha. Taking shelter of. Atmana. By intelligence.
Super soul.
Atmastam.
Situated within myself.
Yathashrutam. As I heard it from the liberated soul. Achintayam.
Thought over.
After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence, as I have learned from liberated souls. This is a section that is very few purports. I've gathered a few verses together. I'll go back to text 11. So we're covering 11 through 15. Text 11 reads, after my departure, this Narada is speaking about his previous life, but what just happened is a great calamity that he took as a great gift of God. So we discussed previously how to see calamities as a transcendentalist sees calamities instead of how everybody else does. So his mother, that the sages had left, and he stayed with his mother. He was enrolled in the school, and each day he was following the practices given to him by the sages, and he was very attached to his affectionate mother. His mother was very caring for him, and she could do to take care of her son. And as fate would have it, one evening when going to milk the cow, she was bit on the leg by a poisonous serpent and instantly died. Calamity. And now it describes how he took it as special mercy of the Lord, desiring somehow to benedict his devotee and make that devotee exclusively dependent upon the Lord. And so at once he flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. And speaking of this verse, Prabhupada says, he doesn't mention industries. No mention. No mention of slaughterhouses. No mention of those things. So forth. Man's activities in agriculture, mining, farming, industries, gardening, etc., were all the same, on the same scale as they are now. Even previous to the present creation. And the same activities remain as they are, even in the next creation. A little disappointing. Everything about the same. After many hundreds of millions of years, sensation is started by the law of nature, and the history of the universe repeats itself practically in the same way. Another President Bush? The mundane wranglers waste time with archaeological excavations without searching into the vital necessities of life. After getting an impetus in spiritual life, Sri Narada Muni, even though a mere child, did not waste time for a single moment with economic development. Although he passed through towns and villages, mines and industries, he continually went on to progressive spiritual emancipation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the repetition of history, which happened some hundreds of millions of years ago, as it is said herein, only the most important factors of history are picked up to be recorded in this transcendental literature. So, the picture that we're getting here is the same old, the same old. It's the diversities of human endeavor are repeated in cycles again and again. And so, in other words, what we're experiencing today is, you know, a different Potomac Maryland look around, and, you know, over the years watching all the construction, big mansions coming up and little old houses disappearing and all the landscaping and thousands of money people are putting into making beautiful homes and big taxes and expensive cars and all that. So it may change and it may not be too long until they're back to horses because they ran out of gas. But at least the principle of trying to enjoy the resources of material nature in various ways, taking certain variations on the theme of what now I've experienced, because what he's describing is not just his previous life, but the previous day of Brahma, because at the night of Brahma was a partial annihilation, and including what's going to be described at the end. Now there's, with all of the elements of matter, he's born within the body of Mahavishnu, and then he comes out again as the son of Brahma, the next day of Brahma. Pretty interesting gestation period for living as to take his birth. But, so that's one feature, that while that similarity is there, there's a kind of trademark or standard way by which a transcendentalist greets that diversity of stuff, material manifestation. And trademark is
detachment.
Now, this is a small boy. He's not like a mature sannyasi. He's given his age, 5. Think of some children that you know that are 5 years old. And while he's seeing all these things, look at this, look at that, he has a mission. And that mission was imparted to him through just some several months of association with these very elevated souls. So Nanda was very good at absorbing and assimilating, internalizing that message, so that like a rocket passing through all this stuff. Very strong detachment. Detachment is a byproduct of attachment. Nimai was asking last night, is there some way to become detached without attachment to Krishna? Not like he was wanting to get attached to something other than Krishna, but not really, because you get detached from one thing and then you become attached to another thing. So this real spirit of Vairagya is the detachment from the mood of trying to be the enjoyer of whatever you're passing through. And you need this variety of stuff you're passing through, and you come to another variety of stuff you're passing through. So he said, yeah, if they do a lot of material enjoyment, they want mystic cities. He says, no, Mukti Siddhi Kami. Sakadeya Shanta. They must want something, so that the real detachment is from the position of selfishness. Whether it's sense gratification, the number one on the hit parade of material existence, or in some cases liberation, in some cases mystic power. But so he was protected from detachment is a kind of protection, as much as attachment to the Supreme is protection. It's protection because one doesn't want those other things, but there's also the direct reciprocation of the Lord who all extends his protection. And we're going to hear more about how Nara experienced that. He says, I passed through hills and mountains. Like Superman just went right through hills and mountains. Full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper. And through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. He wasn't attracted by the metropolises, and now he wasn't attracted by the features of goodness in nature. He just kept on. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, weeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yard for snakes, owls, and jackals. Oh, that's part of a Jakacharya report. It is the duty of a mendicant, Paribrajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear. And the most typical sannyasi in the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner to the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephants, and many other jungle animals.
Okay, that's our assignment, right? Yeah. Prabhupada gives another option B down below.
In this stage of Kali, sannyasa is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi. And in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasi should not change their former names, following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Kalivrajakacharya, like Nanda or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So no point the example of Prabhupada's life, although he's speaking about it in terms of Narada Muni, traveling through forests and jungles and slapping tigers and insisting that they chant the holy name of the Lord and getting the deer and the tigers to dance together. And Prabhupada didn't show us that example. He showed us this other example. So the attachment is the hallmark, and the mission is the entitlement to detachment. The mission of hearing and chanting in a very strong basis and moving about here and there for the purpose of appreciating deeply the sense of the presence of God anywhere and enlightening others. That's our model. Srila Prabhupada gave us that model. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that model. Of course, manifested according to their personality, but the principle of detachment. So we're hearing scripturally one method of, with the purpose of this going through the forest and experiencing all varieties of parks and gardens and villages and metropolises and caves and mountains and rivers. And it's not to become attached to one particular place or another place, but this cultivating the sense of dependence upon the personality of God. And we'll hear now next about eating, when one does that kind of a program that you just described. Where does one's sustenance come from? Narada said, thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So, I took a bath in a river lake. And also drank water by contacting water and got relief from my exhaustion. And Prabhupada explains, a traveling mendicant can meet the needs of the body, namely thirst and hunger, by the gifts of nature without being a beggar at the doors of the householders. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the house of the householder to beg, but to enlighten him spiritually. Now certainly mendicants do go to the doors of householders to beg. And there are ways so that these
in a succinct way, describing the difference of consciousness. The proper consciousness is acting or dependent upon God, on the gifts of God found in nature, and therefore one in this classic form of renounced life is very happy to live just from the supply that comes from nature. And so if that same mendicant goes to the house of the householder asking for alms, as is entitlement for Pari Vrajakacharya, at least one type of Pari Vrajakacharya, to perform Madhupari, it's not just for maintenance, but it's for giving the householders a chance to hear transcendental message. Just share this little anecdote. We were one time in Vrindavan being met on a one-day journey out in the Dhinabandhu, and the particular place where we had gone, it was a long roadway from where the buses parked, because the buses couldn't get in and out, so took a long walk down a long dirt road, and then into a place where the temple was that we were going to visit, and then where the temple was, there were suddenly, instead of just agricultural fields on both sides, it was houses on both sides and a little narrow lane. And very narrow, just enough for like two side-by-side persons to walk. Maybe three. And a little car came by, you had to get out of the way and off into the side and so they could pass. So all of a sudden, as we were approaching almost to where the temple was, right around the corner came these giant animals, like bulls and big cows with big horns. And for some reason, they were running. And they were coming right at us. And there was no way we could go out of their way. So we jumped, you know, to like the little ledges on those shops. And they came charging through. I remember one of our members was in the mid-60s, Krishna Leva, and she fell. And the devotees were all huddling by, you know, so everyone was in this, whoa, Arishtasura just passed through. Krishna! So, immediately, Dhinabandhu being the spontaneous devotee that he is, he just completely changed the mood by, it was still early in the morning, because they were heading from the to or from the milking station or something, the cows and the bulls. So he went door to door and called out in not just Hindi, but in local, rich, Vasi language. And the ladies heard, and immediately they came running, and this was those, you look, when you go into a door, it's normally like, you know, the rest is, that's one family, but there's like these 10 families, inside, this side, that side, that side, that side. And they all came out with rotis, and wait, and came more, they hot ones. And he had to, you know, to pray with each other, and within 2 or 3 minutes, everyone's mind is completely off of Arishtasura, and completely fascinated with how spontaneous was the mood of the local village people who, you know, he's wearing white. He's not like our classic sannyasi wearing saffron. He's just, you know, an American receiving, you know, alms from the local Rajbasis. But they were so charmed by his mood, you know, with his chadar over his head and holding it. And so very quickly, they were filled with different things, especially roti, because Rajbasis like rotis. So he, you know, and he got some gore, took pieces of gore and put the gore inside the roti and said, here, take one, and everyone was happy. if you really forgot what it was to say. Spontaneously. So, when a mendicant, when a renounced personality goes to the home of some householder, it's not, this is my arrangement for nativeness. At least the consciousness should not be like that. And householders are happy to maintain because it's their duty. They're happy to maintain the renounced persons. Another godbrother who lived in Vrindavan for a long, long time described that's how he, you know, he didn't have, he was taking care of Prabhupada's quarters at the Radhadamana temple for a long time. And for, you know, occasionally the devotees from the Krishna Balaram temple would bring prasad of Krishna Balaram. So he said, because it was frankly irregular, it was far more easy for him to just go about the shops and to the homes and downtown Vrindavan in short time. He was taken care of, and people were very, very happy to do like that. So that's even in our modern time. So what to speak of when Narada, very, very early, if he went to the homes of persons, it was just for enlightening them. Then, now the climax, this verse is on the board, which is just over here. Tasmin, near Mandajay, Ranye, after that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the Supersoul situated within, using my intelligence, as I had learned from liberated souls. So, even Sanskrit is very interesting. Atmana, Atmanam, Atmastam. A little alliteration here, repetition of the same consonant sounds. It seems like he's repeating himself. What's he saying? He's using his intelligence to meditate upon the Supersoul within himself. Atmana, Atmanam, Atmastam. So, while he's going through villages and metropolises and mines and forests and parks and experiencing, he's not losing focus as we go through experiences of life. We should keep focus. And how do you keep focus? How do you get focus? For starters. And that's through the association. Yata Shutam Achintayam, by the hearing process. And by the hearing process, one is getting the association of Krishna, because Krishna is that transcendental message that one hears. And one receives not only the message of Krishna, but Krishna, through those who are authorized or empowered by Krishna to deliver Krishna. So the same, this is the advantage of saintly persons. The Prabhupada explains this as a purport. Here's the pattern. Contact bona fide spiritual masters. Next. Serve them sincerely. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And the next. Get enlightenment. Rightly. Prabhupada's explanation. So, the form that Narada went through is, you know, tailored for Narada's life, but the principles are principles that apply to throughout all of time. did he get that association? That he was sincere, Krishna sent the association. And because he was sincere, he received that association in the proper way. He served those persons and heard from those persons. He became attached to those persons. And they became very affectionate upon him and poured even more and more and more mercy upon him. Specifically, Prabhupada uses the language. They initiated him. They instructed him in confidential knowledge about Krishna. And he didn't, like, space out. He didn't, like, oh, that was best, nice, what's next? He stayed absorbed and continued. Even in the face of calamity, he continued absorbed in that message and that mood and that service. And as he had been trained by them, by intelligence, because you can't do it otherwise, it doesn't just fall from the sky, by proper intelligence that comes from proper training and instruction, he fixed his mind upon the Supreme. All of the stuff that he was passing through was to assist him in the detachment program and the becoming absorbed in the presence of God feeling. And then he did his sadhana. So our manifestation of sadhana is different, but the principle is the same. He was given a mantra to chant, and he was given the process of meditation, and that's what he did. He fixed his mind in a spirit of detachment upon achieving the fulfillment of that which the sages had given to him. He didn't get distracted. He didn't get bummed out by calamity. He didn't lose a moment and get off track. He didn't have any, he was just a 5-year-old boy, didn't have anybody to hold his hand and say, it's all right. No, it's okay. Whatever happened, it's okay. He was very fixed. So he's a special personality, but the principle is this faithfulness to the mercy that one receives and stays on that track. And sure enough, the personality of Godhead, coming attractions, he is going to show himself. It's not that our acts of faithfulness in devotion go unnoticed. There's reciprocation. There's protection. There's an exchange of affection. That's what sustains a person that's on a spiritual path. There'll be establishing of and reciprocation of the relationship with Krishna while passing through the experiences of life, whatever they may be. And for different ashrams, it's different, for different persons, because of their makeup, it's different, because of their karma, it's different, because of so many things, it's different. The details are different, but the essential text is the reciprocation of the personality of Godhead. And Narada is giving this example to Vyas because Vyas wants to know. And it's why does Vyas want to know? We discussed this. It's not trivia. It's not Brahmakata, oh, this is another piece of biography of a nice person. It's to take inspiration to see how did this successful person, in this case his spiritual master, how did he achieve it so that I can get some clue and inspiration how to achieve it. So he's continuing following that question of Vyas. So Vyas can do it too, and guess what? Vyas does it too. And his experience is different than Narada's, but the template is the same. In the mood of detachment, following the instructions of the spiritual master Narada, takes a mind of complete concentration upon the personality of Godhead. Then he gets this realization, which is the basis of his service of writing Srimad Bhagavatam, just as his Narada, as his spiritual master Narada said it would happen. It happened, the whole thing unfolded. But we need the text of Bhagavatam carefully. There's great spiritual impetus, inspiration, mercy, in the form of the instructions that are coming from Narada Vyas. There's mercy to carry one to that same position if one reads properly, and then brings that message within and stays with that message and lives the principles of those messages, being inspired by them. That's the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada wanted to give us the same. But jungles he traveled through, the cement jungles of the West and the world, passing through all those different things, following the same principle. Detachment. Remarking, oh, look at this interesting manifestation of tamagun. Look at that grinding manifestation of rajagun. Rosakagun. Just see. And continuing to become, feel the presence of Krishna, the perfection of Krishna, and manifest this transcendental message, just as Vyas did for us, Prabhupada did for us. That gift they did for us, they want us to receive it. That's the method. Very mercy laden method, receiving messages of the personality of Godhead to carry us to the transcendental position. Krishna. Any comments? Questions?
Yeah. Guru Maharaj, how do we know whether it's detachment or aversion?
How do we know whether we're situated in attachment, or detachment, or aversion? Well, we're probably situated in aversion. Detachment is there. Say two things. One is there's attraction or attachment to Krishna. So when the Krishna option comes up, where does our attention go? That's one little test. Another little test of aversion is just how Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. If the senses are restrained, but if the mind is still growing, that's aversion. And when that's the case, wait a while, and the acting upon the senses is going to happen. It may not happen in standard ways, it may happen in very surprising ways. Very surprising ways sometimes. And then that's the test that it's aversion. And the cure is not go ahead and indulge yourself, what's the problem? What good or repression accomplish? That's the wrong understanding of that verse. But rather, I need to become more attached to Krishna. And then how does one become attached to Krishna? We'll go back to Narada's explaining how you become attached, how he became attached to Krishna. To the mercy of those who are attached to Krishna. having the right exchange with those who are attached to Krishna, one can become cured of the aversion problem and the detachment principle prevails. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita two things. In chapter 5, he says what is called renunciation is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. So real sannyas is linking oneself with the Supreme, same idea of attachment to the Supreme. Like when Vidura is approaching Dhritarashtra and telling him, get out! In the purport, Prabhupada describes those three stages of getting out. And what is this, of, you know, just out of frustration. And then another is the state of neutrality, and another state is the topmost stage. Transcendental attraction for the personality of Godhead. So the more there's this attraction, the attachment automatically follows. And then another point is that the detachment, like in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to that the weapon of detachment, cut this ashva tree, the diamond tree, that represents fruit of activities, and it's enhanced. Detachment is enhanced by knowledge and discrimination. So if there's knowledge and discrimination, and that produces detachment, but not yet attachment to the Supreme, then you can, one can avoid, but not have a heart that's purified yet, purified for the stages, attraction to Krishna. Nirthima?
The series of verses in your coming and also the importance of associating with the same person. And then it specifically also mentions that in your little story also, the grahasthas, their duty to serve and, you know, offer support, charity to the same person. And we also comment how some things weren't present then as a present now. Where is the institution there? Because we don't see, you know, this whole description, the whole tradition is really focused on, you know, the sadhu, you know, I met Prabhupada and I served Prabhupada, or, you know, whatever, Prabhupada served Shiva. So how do we balance that? How do we understand that role? Is it, you know, is it a natural development? Is it just we have no other choice? Is it
fulfillment
principle, how do we balance that from what
Shastra
tells us? Is
that
a role? What's its role?
Yeah, I don't see a dichotomy. I noted one of the remarks that you made in your some email you sent out the other day, yesterday, from the airplane ride, I guess. I don't see a separateness. It's more a matter of how those who are sadhus see themselves in relation to the institution. Are they a part of it? Are they and everyone else the institution, or are they over here and the institution is over there? It's a matter of, so the institution is for training. The institution is the facility for loving exchanges. And the sadhus are to foster the help of both. And the sadhu is thinking, hey, this is a feast, and my job is to enjoy and then go away. I'm not with the institution. That's where this separateness comes. I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying, but you know, the training The institution, Bhaktikin, what's the role of the institution? Is for training. And part of the institution is to train those who are sadhu. And if there isn't training of sadhu, then they got their own program. That's very unhealthy for themselves and for the institutions. It's, you know, it's outside of what I understand. Those who are following Prabhupada's message, that's the institution. You got somebody who's not doing that, that, you know, that's a problem, especially if it's someone in a, wherever it might be. It might be a leader role, or maybe a renounced role, you know, say manager or preacher role. But, you know, I really don't, the institution is to, just to serve my interests. And otherwise, I don't really care for the institution. But I think that's the problem more than, you know, our institution is based upon these teachings. Their teachings don't change because we have an institution. Not over there, we're over here. How do we relate to that which is over there? They're integrated. So it's separate from consciousness, my program consciousness, rather than the Prabhupada's and our, that which he created. We're the servants of that which he created. So I don't see I don't see a fundamental dichotomy, provided the consciousness of the individual sees that they're a product of Prabhupada's mercy, as the institution is a product of Prabhupada's mercy. It's to serve the mission of the acharya of the institution, not to come take from it. It's a training question, and it's a propagating by proper example from the leadership role. This is the standard. And then if something in the broader sense, you know, I could say some other things that may not be so appropriate for this forum, but like, for example, I think I can say this one. One of the organizations in our GBC meeting in Italy was, while zonal secretaries may be doing well within their zones, what's the sense of the role of a GBC member as far as the world? And it was a day's worth of blank. It was very disturbing, because, you know. So, as on that level, what's, you know, that has to be fixed, so that the thing of consciousness is, although, and we have our temple over here, we have our project over here, we have our department over here, we have our whatever it is, how's it all put together? How do we work together? What's that? So it has to start. Then it is not only messages sent out, but the whole consciousness of this is who we are, because this is how we behave. This shows who we are, rather than who we are as something isolated, someone's working very industriously and something that's isolated, and not seeing the big picture, because no one's seeing the big picture. That's what. And the tendency to go the other direction is very strong. Well, the spirit of independence is very strong. Whatever the unit, maybe take the temple. Someone that's really good. So you empower that person that's really good, and then Now, how is that person is really good has got some empowerment to understand what the rest of the people are that are also doing something. Now, whatever the scale on the pyramid is, how does the part fit in with the whole? It doesn't change the philosophy. It's not a competition between sadhu and the institution. Depending upon the mood, the spirit, the example set by the sadhu. Any other? Yeah? Can you speak up? How to focus more? That's your question? Put more energy here and less energy elsewhere. Or in 241 Bhagavad Gita, you can look up the verse. Krishna describes the difference between focused attention and, we use this phrase, splayed out. Bahushakha, many branched intelligence versus very focused intelligence. And how that very focused intelligence comes, Prabhupada gives the clue in the purport. This great focus comes when one takes, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his commentary on that verse, one takes the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul, then there's focus. Get careful, it'll help. Yeah.
Maharaj, by attaching to Supreme, the detachment of naturally follows.
Yes.
And so, do I have to separately cultivate detachment, especially with the material?
It's not separately, but it's part of attachment to the Supreme. Here's how it works. Here's a visual image. So you have a pin. There's the point of the pin, there's the shaft of the pin, and there's the head of the pin. Yeah? So when the needle or pin goes into the cloth, the point goes in first, but the shaft follows and the head follows. The whole pin goes in there, into the cloth. Yeah? So, similarly, there are qualities of a Vaishnava that naturally follow behind the point, the main point that carries us out of the material condition into the spiritual condition, is our attachment to Krishna. Look up in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 6 through 8, I think it is, or something like that, 5 through 8, where Krishna is giving qualities of, or the symptoms of knowledge. And the principal one, Prabhupada explains in the Purport, of the many qualities, detachment is one of them, but the one that's the principal one, the point that behind which the others follow, is mayichananyirogena bhaktir abhyabhicharini. So it's avyabhichari bhakti, undivided devotion to the personality, that of attachment to Krishna. Then Prabhupada explains, how do you get that? And the answer is also one of the qualities. And the one who is taking full shelter of the spiritual master is one of the symptoms of knowledge. But it's how one gets attachment to Krishna, his undivided devotion. And from those two, all others follow. So detachment follows. Prabhupada gives the example of the queen in the palace. The queen, by the arrangement of the king, has so many attendants, and she moves around the palace, they follow around her, she goes here, they follow her, she goes there, they follow. But what's the queen interested in? She's interested in the king, serving the king. And the attendants don't want to serve a queen, who want to serve a king. So this detachment follows attachment to Krishna. That's how it happens. And I mentioned the other day this little section of verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami is describing the same thing. Same thing. Guru Parashray is this phrase. And through, it says there's Naradas, you know, the little sequence of things. Through the association of the Bhakti Vedantas, these great sages, Narada developed great affinity for them, and with affinity for them, detachment from the, you know, childish little silly things. And just became very, very attached to them. And so much so that when they left and his mother left, he kept going because of their mercy. And he understood, he keeps articulating it, with their mercy. So, because there's attachment to Krishna, now this is the specific part of your question, as attachment for Krishna develops, we want to serve him favorably. So if I have attachment, that's not going to serve Krishna favorably. So I cultivate detachment. Why? Following behind this one. Now that's a parallel answer to Satya Kumar's question. What about aversion? Aversion is where there isn't detachment. It's just, you know, I'm frustrated with material existence, so I'm going to, you know, stop doing some things. But it's not with attachment to pleasing Krishna. So when there's, conversely, attachment to the Supreme awakens, I want to become more pure. I want to become more clean. I want to become more pleasing to Krishna. And therefore, on the strength of that motivation, detachment. I cultivate detachment. I cultivate the other qualities of Vaishnava. Because it's pleasing to Krishna. And pleasing to the spiritual master and Krishna. It's impetus to cultivate those qualities. So it's both. We cultivate, we endeavor, and we're eager for mercy, both. We can't be successful without mercy. But we don't just hang out and wait for the mercy to come. When we're taking shower, we don't just stand in the shower and say, okay, when are we going to become clean? We're making some endeavor while we're in the shower. But we're pretending it's not going to come. So mercy and endeavor, these two together, our Vaishnava program. Because the endeavor should be to please Krishna, that we become detached from these impurities that I find within me.
In my office,
in your what?
Office.
In your office.
At
work. At Saturday. Okay, go ahead.
One colleague, he showed interest in our principles, and then I gave him Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
And because we
were preaching in workplace, huh? Go ahead.
responsive, and then one day he came, like it happened yesterday, you know.
Just yesterday?
Yes. And then he sent a link to me about NTR, our New York temples. Some article about ISKCON. And then he started asking, why are you pushing people? Why are you...
Can you hear this? His colleague at work connected with it. Can all our pundits become recognized?
Yes.
Why are you pushing people?
Yes. And then I told him the same example that what you are giving me earlier, like Ashwamathan and Prabhu and Gaudiamas. Is it possible to push anyone to bhakti? I just asked him that. And then, no, but then he went on to scriptures says, like, sannyasi could not travel. Where is it? What are the scriptural references?
Sannyasi should not travel. Oh, okay. Well, you can educate him.
So when he became offensive, I walked up.
That's not offensive. He's got a different set of data. I just heard yesterday Prabhupada was describing, there's this idea that a Hindu does not cross the ocean or he will become contaminated. But then he was referring to the kingdom of Maharaj Pariksit covered all the oceans. So did the king not go to his whole kingdom, the whole planet? And did he become contaminated? That was Prabhupada's argument. Or, frankly, look at what Srila Prabhupada did when he came to America. Did he become contaminated? Or does, when the sun contacts something that's impure, make the impure pure? What about Vidura, when he went on pilgrimage, and when he returned to Hastinapur, he was described, you know, wherever you go, you make that place a sacred place of pilgrimage because of you're carrying Krishna within your heart. So, you know, you don't have to walk away. You don't have to feel. He just has a, whatever you want to call it, homogenized, Hinduized picture of what the scriptures say. And, you know, rather than feel insulted, don't get on his case. How can you speak to each? You know, you remain gentle and with a smile. You scream. Huh? Yeah. Did he become a family?
This is in terms of, I'm trying to get more on the realization of knowledge, the effective use of knowledge and discrimination.
The effectiveness of knowledge and discrimination.
Yeah, I'm trying to relate it to yesterday's lecture where you talked about the test being given to an individual, especially how much mercy Lord is giving when the difficulty, you know, at the time of getting difficulty.
Practically speaking, knowledge and discrimination in situations of calamity help, but they don't provide sufficient support. It helps, but it's insufficient.
How do I overcome my confusion of mind? Because what happens if I cannot use my knowledge properly, my past
experience? So that's right in this verse that we recited. Atmanatmanam atmastam. When intelligence by training is properly directed, and it's not going to happen otherwise. So the training, you know, it's right in our scriptures. Discrimination is, we're actually eternal souls. We're not this body. Then something happens in the platform of the body. And then you go, oh, I'm not this body. You know, it hurts because we actually identify with the body. It's painful. It's emotionally wrenching when something calamitous happens. But we're not this body. So then it takes how to apply that intelligence. And that. So I've been repeating and just, you know, repeating and repeating, probably to the right quote. The higher, the application of that intelligence is to the shelter of the instructions of the Bhagavatam through the example and teaching of our acharyas, how to devote our lives to the personality of Godhead. Because otherwise we'll lose our footing and slip and go into lamentation and, you know, painful experience when calamities come, because knowledge alone is not enough. It has to be connected to the platform of practical devotional service. Of course, we're doing what we do, and we don't do what we don't do because it's the instruction of the spiritual master. It's coming through the scriptures. Like we had this discussion last night, I'm going to end with this answer so we can get on with the morning activity. One of the students was asking a lot of questions, and one of the questions was, is it okay to be attached to one's work? And he gave the answer that Prabhupada gave when he was asked that question. Prabhupada's answer was, it's okay to be attached to your devotional service that's given to you by your spiritual master. But then if the spiritual master gives you some other service, immediately you should be detached and attached to that new service. So the point is that the real attachment is not to the activity, certainly not the outcome of the activity, nor to the activity itself, but to the instruction. And that brings one attachment to the instructor and attachment to Krishna. And if Krishna redirects, I'm very detached from that other thing and very attached to this. So we discussed the example of Yudhisthira. So his nature was he couldn't tell a lie. And Krishna said, tell a lie. He couldn't do what Krishna said. At least he hesitated. And there's a lesson embedded in that. The lesson is, what we do should be directed by the personality of Godhead, or the representatives of the personality of Godhead. And according to that indication, that's where our attachment goes, because our attachment goes to the person, and the instruction from the person. The relationship with that person is through the instruction. And there we find detachment, through attachment to the Supreme. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.